Hello, it's Paul Southers here again, continuing my story of the Great Glen Challenge that I undertook in September of last year. In the previous episode, after a fantastic first day in clear blue skies and sunshine, I left the story in a rainy Fort William, which, for anybody who knows Fort William, won't come as any great surprise. And it did rain very heavily overnight, but thankfully the next morning it was fine and clear again for the next stage of our ride. This started again after a very brief ride along a busy road out of Fort William to the railway station. We then went onto a cycle track, which I had never encountered before, despite several visits to Fort William. And this took us in a very pleasant ride along some woodland and came out past the old Inverlochy Castle, which again is I've not seen before, but I was aware of. It's a ruined castle next to the River Lochy, just before it flows into the Loch Lochy, which is the sea lock on which Fort William stands. And indeed it was this fort at and castle at Inverlochy, that gave Fort William its name. And then we came to a footbridge over the river, and just to highlight some of the problems that we encounter on these rides, because of the Highland weather, the river will be prone to flooding after heavy rain or snow melt. The bridge went up some fairly steep steps and then across the river, keeping well clear of any potential floodwater before descending down steps on the other side. And it was impossible to get the trailer bikes and the trikes over that obstacle, so we had to continue on the same side of the river that we were on, and it was probably about a 2 mile detour going up onto a road and through a housing estate to bring us back to the other side of the riverbank, which on foot would have been taking us about a minute to cross. But anyway, we did that, and shortly after that we came to the point where the Caledonian Canal, which links Fort William with Inverness and avoids the long sea journey around the northwest tip of Scotland for boats, begins. So, and in order to quickly gain height as it leaves the sea lock at the head of Loch Lochy, the canal goes up a series of locks known as Neptune's Staircase, which I think there's probably about four or five locks in quick succession. So it's quite an impressive sight to see. And just before we got to this, though, literally yards away from it, the railway line from Fort William to Mallaig, the West Highland line, crosses over the entrance to the Caledonian Canal on a swing bridge. And at the point we arrived, the barriers were down, indicating that a train was due. So we all stood there literally on the line side, and we were getting quite excited at this point, because when we'd been passing Fort William Station, there was steam rising from the station indicating there was a steam loco there. And there is quite a popular and lucrative heritage service that runs between Fort William and Mallaig now, which is known as the Jacobean, which, again, another little history lesson. This area of Scotland is strongly linked with the Jacobite rebellion, which involved Bonnie Prince Charlie and took place in 1745. And indeed, just down the road from where we were at Glenfinnan, there's a monument there to commemorate the point at which the Bonnie Prince Charlie first raised his standard. As the rebellion started then. And Glenfinnan also is famous now for being the point where the curved viaduct, which features in the Harry Potter movies, as that's where it was taken from. But anyway, so you know, all this makes the steam journey between Fort William and Malaigue very popular, and it's beautiful scenery. So what more could you ask for? But stood on the rail side, sure enough, a few minutes later, this steam train came along, and because it was about to cross the swing bridge, which had a weight restriction, which we were stood right next to, it was going at a snail's pace, and what a fantastic experience to have this steam engine. It's for anybody who's interested in these things, it was a Stanier Black 5 steam loco, which was an express steam engine that would have worked. They were known to the Calder Valley. They worked on the London Midland Scottish Railway, and I did find out later that this particular steam engine, quite by chance, was owned and based at the Keighley-Worth Valley Railway and was on hire to the company running the steam excursions for the summer. And it was pulling an 11-coach train of vintage stock from British Rail, in all in maroon, from British Railways, probably 1960s livery. So it's a wonderful sight, and that just crawled past us, and you know, everybody really enjoyed that. And then as soon as that had passed, the barrier went up and allowed us to make the short ride again across the railway track, and immediately we were on to the towpath of the Caledonian Canal and ascending alongside this series of locks known as Neptune's Staircase. And once again, our luck held in that as we were cycling up this gently sloping towpath, the a boat started to pass through the series of locks. And obviously, I should imagine most people living around Todmorden are familiar with canal locks because we've got plenty of them. But if you can imagine, as far as the Neptune Staircase is concerned, you literally pass from one lock to the other. And it's almost, it's the canal equivalent of walking down a staircase. So it's, you know, to see a boat passing from one lock immediately into the next, descending or ascending a little further, then going into the next lock, it really is a feat of engineering. But anyway, once all that excitement was over, things settled down onto what was, for the next hour or so, a very pleasant ride along the tranquil towpath of the Caledonian Canal as it started its journey through the Great Glen, which is the name of the geographical fault line that passes between Fort William and Inverness, and basically splits the mountains of the Highlands, which are otherwise fairly continuous, into some distinct separate parts. And I really enjoyed this section because, for one, the weather was very pleasant, which has not always been my experience when visiting the Highlands. And two, all my previous visits had very much been through the eyes of the mountaineer. I'd usually been either heading for or climbing the high mountains that surround this area. So to actually just be passing along on the towpath at a nice gentle pace, taking in the scenery from a low level, it was a lovely experience, and I really enjoyed it. And it was surprising how busy the towpath was. It is, as well as a cycle route, part of a long distance footpath called the Great Glen Way, and there were a lot of walkers who seemed to be walking along that route, doing it from end to end, starting at the northern end and heading down towards Fort William. So, you know, lots of people around and occasional boats coming sailing along the canal, but all in all, it was just beautiful scenery. And because we're on a canal towpath, of course, it was fairly level going, which after the ups and downs of the previous day's riding was most welcome. Anyway, after a few miles, we came to another set of locks, which was a smaller set, and this was our first stop for a coffee and tea, and this was the point where we would be coming off the towpath, because, again, getting into a geography lesson here, but the Great Glen is through which splits this northwest part of the Scotland, Scottish Islands. There is, running through the glen, a series of locks, which I'll cover as I go along, but the immediate one that we're approaching is known as Loch Lochy. Sorry, and I should say keep making mistakes here. The loch where Fort William is Loch Linney. I think I said Loch Lochy earlier, sorry about that. But anyway, we're approaching Loch Lochy, which, along with Loch Ness, is, well, a couple of the largest lochs in Scotland, never mind the Great Glen. And the Caledonian Canal takes advantage of these locks to, rather than building the canal around the side of them, they basically link the locks by series of canals, which use not the convention, the natural version of a lock, the man-made version of a lock, to get up and down in elevation to gain the height needed to access them. So we had our break, ready to say farewell to the canal for a while, somewhere not far from Speen Bridge. But anyway, after the break, we then set off on what was billed as the hardest part of today's ride, where in order to get around Loch Lochy, we had to use a series of forestry tracks through the what is known as the Clunie Forest, which were basically on the opposite side of Loch Lochy to where the busy main road. Anyway, we set off along this initially on a minor B road, which was very pleasant, and then we entered the forest itself, which was essentially a gravel track that was designed for four-wheel drive vehicles, and because there was active logging going on in the area, which meant that there's some logging vehicles were using it, it was a bit rough and uneven in places, but anyway, it was quite a pleasant change to be in the forest and away from water for a while. And we got to one point where it was quite close to where the actual logging was taking place. And there was actually one of the forestry people manning a barricade. And apparently the logging work was taking place very close to the track. So we had to be held at this barricade and then taken through in a convoy when it was clear to do so. This guy was in radio contact with the logging people. So we had a bit of a break chatting to the forestry man. And then when he gave us the thumbs up, we all had to ride as a big group through the remainder of the forest and past the area where they were actively cutting logs and felling trees and preparing the logs to be carried out, to be taken to a timber yard somewhere and then converted into whatever. Forestry is quite a large business up in the Highlands, and the trees do need managing because they can't just be left completely to their own devices. But anyway, we carried along, and once we got clear of the logging area, we kind of came to a stretch where we came out of the forest and we were quite high up, probably I would estimate about 300-500 feet above sea level, and we had uninterrupted views across Loch Lochy, across the Great Glen to the surrounding mountains. So it was a fantastic scenic section, and it became immediately obvious why we had to leave the canal when you saw the size of the loch and how tightly the valley sides from the mountains came down to the shores of the loch on both sides. And that point also, it was met with some relief because from there was an enjoyable descent down a minor road. It was tarmacked with loose gravel on, but it was a lovely single track descent from there, which was, you know, really good fun with a few hairpin bends all the way down to our lunch stop, which was at a place called Laggan Locks. And in another feat of luck, just as we were riding down, myself and my guide rider Ian, we were not that we were deliberately racing, but we were at the front, and suddenly said, "Well, I'm sure that's bagpipes we can hear playing," because we were still quite high up when we first heard it and thought, "Where's that coming from?" But anyway, once we got down to almost the canal level, and there was a few houses there at this place called Laggan Locks, we could hear the bagpipe player quite clearly, and apparently some of the people coming down behind us actually met him. By the time they were going past, he was actually stood on the roadside playing his bagpipes. And of course our leader Simon was trying to take credit for having organized this as entertainment, but it was lovely to hear bagpipes playing in the natural environment. And just around the corner from that, we came to the canal towpath again, beside what is known as the Laggan Locks, where there's another couple of locks to gain on lose height on the canal. It did start to rain again at this point, which had come out of nowhere, but the catering team showed great initiative at this point, because normally if they had Betty, our support vehicle, which, as I covered last time, was at this time abandoned in a hotel car park in Auburn still, that has a canopy that can be pulled out to provide a shelter for the caterers. But not having that, they showed great initiative in that there was a sheltered cafe area beside the locks and the canal, which was closed at the time. It must have been only open in the summer. But it was like a timber-covered area with seats and benches. So they'd very kindly set up shop with a catering underneath the area that would normally in the summer be a cafe. So that was a nice treat to be able to sit under a shelter and eat our lunch. And we even again got to watch a couple of boats going through the locks. So all in all, a good experience. After lunch, most of the day after this would actually be, well, partly on the Caledonian Canal, which we went on for a short distance. But then there is another section where you have to leave the canal side, because it crosses through a smaller lock. And for this, we went up a track and then took up the route which was formerly a railway line that used to run from connect with the West Island line that runs from Glasgow to Fort William, just north of Fort William, and ran up to the place where we were heading for the evening, which was at Fort Augustus. So this line closed and got demolished. It was probably sometime just after the Second World War, but the route of the line is still fairly intact, being in a fairly remote area. So we were riding along the old railway track, and at a place called Invergarry, we came to an area where an English couple were in the process of creating a small heritage railway at the site of what used to be Invergarry Station. So it was quite interesting for me, because I have interest in railways, but it was quite, you know, a modest setup at the moment, but they had the platform was there, and they had a few lines and an engine and some rolling stock. It was just a small diesel shunting engine, and they were in the process of building a shed so that they could house their Stoke and renovate more Stoke undercover. And I think the plan was that they would start to run short excursion trains up and down the line, which would only be about half a mile or so. But it was something that was developing into what would hopefully in future years become a tourist attraction, that you could go for a ride on a steam or a old diesel train in the heart of the Scottish Islands. So good luck to them. And anyway, we continued along the route of the old railway track, which at this point you're getting close to where the watershed on the Great Glen is, where the water up until now what we were following would flow down back towards Fort William. But on this section, this next section between Invergarry and Fort Augustus, would cross the watershed and the water would start to flow northwards towards Inverness. So we say very pleasant on the old railway route. There was one challenge where there was a locked gate on this route that was going to cause a problem for the riders, but our technical team had a plan in place, and it's probably better not to say too much about this, but all I would say is that when we got to the locked gate, I think we were at the front again, myself and Ian, there was one of our support riders was stood there with the gate open and a smile on his face. And apparently after we all had left, it was made sure that the gate was locked again. So it's best left at that anyway. After that, it was fairly uneventful, steady, lovely riding on the old railway track. But then we came to back to our old friend, the Caledonian Canal. And probably only for about 3-4 miles, We were on the grand finale then, where we're riding into Fort Augustus, which was where we were staying for the night. And just as you come into Fort Augustus, what is almost the centre of this small town cum village, which is right in the centre of the Great Glen, we're greeted by a reconstruction of the Loch Ness Monster, which was quite, you know, probably about 20 feet high. It was it was certainly an unmistakable landmark, which just in case anybody wasn't aware, that Fort Augustus is on the shores of Loch Ness. And obviously Loch Ness is one of the deepest lochs in the Highlands, and is well known to most people for its alleged monster, which there have been various dubious sightings of over the years, but no definitive proof. But anyway, just to make sure tourists get the full experience, you're probably not going to see an actual monster in the water, but you can stand and have your photograph taken next to a model of one just by the canal as you go into Fort Augustus. And so that was more or less the end of the day. We were staying on this particular night rather than in the hotels owned by the same chain that was our accommodation for the rest of the journey. We had to stay in what is termed a backpackers hostel in Fort Augustus, basically because that was the only accommodation that could cope with our numbers. And you know, it would kind of be, our expectations had been set fairly low for this, because from Simon saying as it wasn't going to be anything like the hotels we'd been staying in previously. So that said, we arrived at the hostel, which it probably would have been a youth hostel in an earlier life, but this hostel, ironically, was called Morag Hostel. I say ironically because just talking about the Loch Ness Monster on the loch, which is just very close to this point. But Morag is the name of the monster that is alleged to reside in another loch called Loch Morar, which is much further west than this, quite close to Malaig. So, you know, for a hostel to be called Morag, which is associated with a loch probably 40 miles away from where we were, on the banks of Loch Ness, which is known for its own monster called Nessie, just seemed a little strange to me. But anyway, the upshot was the accommodation was absolutely lovely. You know, we were in bunk accommodation rather than hotel beds, and there was a few more to each room than what we'd been used to, but the food was excellent and very comfortable. Nobody had any complaints at all. And just for an extra treat, we had the luxury of walking down into the back into the village, and just next to the canal there was a drinking establishment known as the Bothy, which anybody who knows a little about the Scottish Islands will know that a bothy is just a basic cottage in the Highlands. But this one had been converted into a lovely micro pub, and so it was a real treat to actually get a be able to enjoy a pint of real ale, which was a proper hand-pulled, locally produced beer rather than the electric stuff that we've been drinking in the hotels. And it was a lovely atmosphere, and you know, everybody had enjoyed themselves, and it was a wonderful way to end the second day on our challenge. And we just had one more day to go to get from Fort Augustus to Nain. And having rambled on for quite a long time, I will leave that for another episode. So thank you for now, and hope you are enjoying the tales of this little adventure through the Scottish Islands. Thank you. Bye.